Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. Go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Comes from Genesis, book 22, verse 2. What does that mean? How does it apply to your life and you, if it even does? That's what we'll explore today. Welcome to the Sunday service. That very, 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 very famous biblical story known as the binding of Isaac, often called the Akedah, appears in Genesis 22, 1, verses 1 through 19. It's one of the most poignant and powerful accounts in the Bible. It's God calling to Abraham, who had been promised by God that his descendants would become a great nation, just the Israelites, and asked him to take his son Isaac, the long-awaited child of promise, and offer him as a burnt offering on a mountain that God will show him. And God says, take your son, take him to the mountain, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of these mountains. And obviously, it's an extremely difficult command God made of Isaac. And Isaac was called the child of God's promise, the one through whom of all of Abraham's descendants would be blessed. So it's shocking, especially because God had previously promised Abraham that his offspring would be numerous. In fact, he said that your offspring will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. But despite this really what I think we would all consider to be an impossible command, Abraham obeys him immediately without any hesitation, gets up early the next morning, gets ready for the journey, gets Isaac along with two servants and the necessary supplies for the sacrifice, including fire and a knife. And they get on the road and travel for 3 days to Moriah. When they get there, Abraham tells his servants to stay behind, telling them, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. So Abraham and Isaac walk up the mountain. Isaac, noticing that they've got fire and a knife, asks his dad, fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham tells Isaac, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. They continue on their way. So they find their way to the place that God had indicated. Abraham builds an altar, arranges the wood, and then binds Isaac, which means he ties him up, likely to prevent him from escape. Then it goes on to say, when they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And at that moment, you've got Abraham, who's ready to do it, raises the knife. And God intervenes. Says, Abraham, Abraham. Abraham responds, here I am. The angel tells him to stop. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. So an obvious test of faith and obedience. And God acknowledges that Abraham has proven his willingness to follow God's will, even to the point of making the ultimate sacrifice. So at this point, Abraham looks up and sees a ram caught by its horns in a bush nearby, and he takes the ram and uses it as the burnt offering in place of his son. So Abraham went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So, after the sacrifice, the angel calls to Abraham again, reaffirming the promises made to him. I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. With that, Abraham returns to his servants and they travel back home. So, story highlights the idea that God provides for his people even when the situation seems hopeless. In this case, God provides the ram as a substitute for Isaac, just as he provides for us in ways that we may not always see coming. So very, very, very powerful, obviously. So Abraham was extremely comfortable with all of it. He didn't hesitate. As soon as God called on him to make the trek, he did. The next morning, they got moving, went up the hill, tied up his kid, raised the knife, was ready to go through with everything that God had asked him to. And that's because Abraham had faith in what God had told him and God's promise and everything. He trusted that God loved him, and that he was looking out for his best interests. So, how do you feel about that today? How do you feel about that in your life? Do you have a relationship like that with God? I hope that you do. I don't know that. I don't know. I don't know if God called on me to make a sacrifice like that, if I would be able to. Easy to say that you would, but would you actually be able to do that? But that's not what I wanted to talk about today. I wanted to talk about sacrifice. And I think that sacrifices are necessary to get the things that we want in life. Hard work is necessary, and that's a sacrifice because we're sacrificing leisure time. As a young person, we must work hard. And in some ways, we're sacrificing our youth in doing that. And we put value on certain things, and therefore we treat certain things as if they are of greater value than others. And in so doing, oftentimes we're sacrificing those other things. I mean, by very nature. And in a different context, you could look at this as to get what you want in life, an investment is necessary. It's just a different framing of it. But that's still not really what I'm interested in talking about. What I want to talk about is what I perceive, what I believe to be true, is that our leaders, for a really long time probably, have been perfectly comfortable sacrificing our children to get what they want. Our leaders have been, for recent memory, really long time, been perfectly comfortable sacrificing our children, our young people, to honor their ideologies. And they're really well versed at how to get us to go along with it. Think about what led us into the Vietnam War. We were told that it's essential that we must stop the spread of communism into Southeast Asia, leading to the Vietnam War, where at least 60,000 young men went to a place that is incomprehensible to the place where they were from, and died. And who knows what the total cost in life was to those who made it back. High. So high. Through mental health, which we didn't really pay attention to, didn't know anything about back then, the number of suicides, addiction, drug use, alcohol abuse, how many families were ripped apart, destroyed, how many futures. It's tough to know. Through disabilities, I think it's probably difficult to quantify. Weapons of mass destruction, WMDs, we were told. Iraq had them. Saddam Hussein's got WMDs, which we know now is a bold-faced lie, which obviously led us to forever war in Iraq and Afghanistan and everywhere else. And those wars in Iraq and Afghanistan resulted in the death of a minimum of 10,000 Americans directly, the wounding of tens of thousands more, not hundreds of thousands. And as of right now, suicides of at least 17 young men every day. 17 a day. It's crazy. Resulting in untold mental health issues, which again have robbed those people of their lives, their futures, stolen husbands from wives and wives from husbands, and...
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Children from parents, and parents from children. So there's that. And then, of course, the recent necessity of deterring Russian expansionism, which has led to our government sacrificing our economic future in a lot of ways by sending hundreds of billions of dollars somewhere. But the cost of life to the Ukrainians, I have no idea, and to the Russians, in this war, my goodness. And then the most recent, which is different but the same, which is the primacy of multiculturalism in the United Kingdom, England specifically. Have you seen the story of the grooming gangs, and which has resulted in the rapes of a million British girls, teenage girls, underage girls, women? It's not known. And it's been going on for the better part of, I don't know, 15, 20 years. People have known about it. People have been raising the flag, blowing the whistle for years and years and years. And the government's covered it up. All in the name of multiculturalism. All in the name of not wanting to be thought of or perceived as racist or bigots or xenophobes, whatever stupid fucking term you want to use. That's what's happened. The victims are literally countless number of girls and women. Those who were complicit in this, perpetrated this, the government, elected officials, the police, the media for knowingly covering it up. They sacrificed their young people at the altar of multiculturalism, as our government has sacrificed our young men and women in the name of those wars, in the name of weapons of mass destruction and stopping the spread of communism and stopping Russia from marching across, blah, 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 blah. My brother John, personal experience, I have shared this story numerous times. It's always hard to talk about. John was 3 years older than me and a patriot, as I am, as well, believing in the promise of the United States of America, believing in our values, believing in our founding, believing in the principles that made the United States of America what it was. And impossible to not have been moved by the events of 9/11, and impossible to not have been moved by the propaganda and the incidents that led us into these conflicts and these wars. So John enlisted as an older man and was an Army combat medic, served several tours of duty, deployments in Iraq. Okay. And developed PTSD. And as well as skin cancer, being in Iraq, developed a melanoma, and due to his PTSD when he returned, didn't treat it because he was suffering from a mental illness. And that went on to he went on to lose his life because of that, because of cancer. So five years ago now at this point. Oof, I've struggled this, still do. But nothing in comparison to what my mother struggled with. Watching her struggle with all of it. And feeling powerless, which in many ways she was. Because there was nothing that she could have done to stop John from doing what she knew was a terrible thing, which was enlisting and going to fight. She knew it wasn't good. She lived through the 60s and lived through Vietnam. But there's nothing that she could have done to stop it. Nothing that I could have done. And I'm not saying that to absolve myself or her of responsibility. I say that just because it's a fact and it's the truth. So here I am now, a father of two boys and a little girl, and I certainly can imagine going into battle with them or watching them go on their own, so long as what they are going to war for or battle for is justified. That's the problem here. That's the problem. Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, his only son, because it was justified in his eyes. Conflicts I spoke on earlier, I don't believe have been justified, and that makes all of this tragic. That makes it a tragedy. It makes it disgusting. It makes it an atrocity. And the covering up of the rapes of hundreds of thousands of little girls in England in the name of multiculturalism is one of the most disgusting crimes against humanity perpetrated by people's own government, politicians, media, and the police. They were all complicit in it. We need to wake up. We need to wake up, and we're starting to. Objective truth is real and it is necessary. Right and wrong is real and necessary. Good and bad is real and it is necessary. We must start acting like that again. There is truth. There is right. The things that we value, we must start treating them as if we value them. Sacrifices are necessary, but they must be just. Again, Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac because he believed, and rightly so, that God loved him. Do you believe your government loves you? I don't believe it right now. Are there people within the government who do? Sure. I'm just so sick and tired, as you are as well, of disingenuous fuckheads painting some fucking narrative, weaving some compelling story to get me to go along with whatever their fucking agenda is that I don't fucking know. Pretty sure it doesn't serve me. I'm not interested in you killing my fucking kids to get what you want. Not going to do it. But there's hope. I do see things turning around and us moving in the right direction. That this is now coming out. That we're now knowing things. We're at this stage where it's going to break our brains. It's going to fucking break our fucking brains. Because it's just too much. That we just have so many conspiracies going on and conspiracy theories going on. And it's like, oh my God, there's no way that that's true. Or how could that be true? But how do I know? And so much stuff. And it's all bad. And that there's such a lack of trust and faith in these institutions is terrible. It's awful. I've got enough fucking shit to worry about. Got to get out of bed, go get work done and earn a living and take care of my kids. Do I have to worry about everything else too? Well, apparently we do. Because it'll be a fucking cold day in hell that I let this. Happened to my kids. And I'm sure you feel the same way. Whatever you think about Donald Trump, and I've got plenty of thoughts on the guy. He's in that interview, and they're like, what do you think about the war in Ukraine? He's like, I just want people to stop dying. If you think that's a bad thing, then fuck you. If you can't get behind that, fuck you. Just stop. Let's try to put an end to the dying and the killing. Can we agree with that? Can we agree that we need safe streets? We need the rule of fucking law. I want to be comfortable having my kids walk to school like I used to. I want to be comfortable that they're safe when they're at school. Could we do that? So that's a starting point. Let's stop the fucking dying. Let's stop the killing as much as we can. Not always possible. Woo, buddy. Sacrifices are required. They're necessary, but they must be just. We must hold people to account. As always, God bless you. Do your part by doing your best.